1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast, that is, resist the devil, in the faith, steadfastly resist the devil in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, you're not alone, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, don't you love that God is the God of all grace for his people, who hath called us, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So as you cling to the Lord, as you cast all your care upon the Lord, as you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, not only once, but continually in that vital union, that abiding relationship with Christ that you have been brought into by Christ and the Father. And as you remain humble, you continue to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he's going to exalt you in due season, but it's only after you've cast your care upon him continually and you are overcoming Satan by being sober, vigilant, and steadfast in the faith, what's going to happen is that you're going to be perfected or matured, established, strengthened, and settled by the God of all grace. And by clinging to him, by abiding in Christ through these temptations and these things that are being brought to you by Satan, who walketh about, we read here, seeking whom he may devour. So Satan is extremely active in the lives or in his pursuit to trip up and to sift. Remember, Satan would sift you, Jesus told Peter in the book of Luke. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan, who? Satan, that's the devil, hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, or separate you, cause you to fall through the cracks. And so that is the aim and the mission of Satan, as we read here in 1 Peter 1, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He, the devil, is your adversary, your enemy, the enemy of the Lord and his children, or should I say the enemy of the Lord and therefore his children. And he's walking about. He's prowling like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, to sift the saints of Christ. And that's why we must remain rooted and grounded in Christ. And that's in the knowledge of his word, but not only the knowledge and the intake of his word, but the application of his word, the application of it. Paul said, I keep under my body, I keep it under, not only presently, but ongoing, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway or cast away from the Lord in the end. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and interestingly, it's the last verse in chapter 9. This is just before Paul, and by the way, the chapters were divided, or the Bible was divided, such as this book, for example, 1 Corinthians, was divided into chapters, thank God, so that we could more easily navigate it. But it's one letter that Paul is writing. And so right after he says that he has to keep under his body, that's synonymous with remaining crucified with Christ. Romans 6, dead and buried. Keep under. You got to keep under your body. He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection through the cross life, the crucified life, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, or in the end, cast away from God. And then he goes into the five sins, beginning in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, the five sins that kept God's people out of the promised land. Now, we can be kept out of the promised land on earth and eternally, it would seem, to where we could be minimalized greatly or even shipwrecked from doing the work of God perfectly as he would and fruitfully as he would ordain it by a lack of vigilance, being sober, being vigilant or diligent, and in this case, to be crucified with Christ. And so what are those five sins? We're not going to read through all these, but I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So a natural acronym is formed in what Paul names as the five sins who keep God's people out of their promised land, which ultimately means heaven, but it also would mean to suboptimize your effect in this world as the salt of the earth, your power or the power of God in you to accomplish his ministry work and to lay up treasure in heaven to glorify him and to be a blessing to many. And those five sins are L-I-F-T-M, very easy, lift, and then the letter M, lift them, right? You got sin in your life, lift them to the Lord, if you will. Go before the Lord and ask him to wash you afresh in repentance as you surrender afresh and give you the cross life that will bring the victory, the resurrection victory over these sins. L-I-F-T-M, L-I-F-T-M, lift them. Lust, idolatry, fornication, tempting Christ, and murmuring. Okay, we have a podcast. Look up Lift Them, L-I-F-T-M, on safeguardyoursoul.com. In fact, the podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com is called Five, the number, numeric five soul-damning sins named Learning from History. So just put in five, the number five, soul-damning, and it'll come right up. Okay, and there's actually two podcasts and posts on this, the five sins that keep God's people out of their promised land would be the title you may want to go for, the five sins that keep God's people out of their promised land. Now, notice in verse 12, interestingly, the apostle, after he names these five sins that kept the children of Israel in the Old Testament out of their promised land. Again, that ultimately means heaven. No sin is going to enter heaven. It doesn't matter what you've been taught or if you like it or not. God is holy, and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then somebody's going to say with their complaining, whining, excuse-making spirit of evil, oh, well, you're saying that nobody sins, that we don't. I didn't say that. But a godly person is going to confess that sin. They're not going to live with it. They can't live with it. You see, it's not that you stop sinning along the way. Now, you will sin less as you're being sanctified and you're denying yourself and you're crucified with Christ. But none of us take up the cross perfectly. So I'm just being real across the board here. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20 that there's not a just man on the earth that doesn't sin. Let me read that to you so I don't misquote it. It's going to be Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth. Notice he's talking about a just man. Interesting. That doeth good and sinneth not. So we're talking reality here. You can run around acting like you're sinless perfection all you want, but it's not going to be long before you fall on your face and God shows you just how frail you are and how you need him. And that's why Paul's saying, the Apostle Paul, okay, is saying that I have to keep under my body. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. I have to keep it under, lest by any means I myself become a castaway in the end. So Job says, Job 9:20, if I justify myself, self-righteousness, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect or sinless perfection, it shall also prove me perverse. So I would be careful about going out on the limb that's going to break and claiming, believing, or stating any of those things that you are sinlessly perfect. Because Job says here, it shall prove, also prove me perverse. It's going to come back and haunt you, and it's not going to take long. Okay, that's Job 9:20. Now, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9 says the following. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. See, it's pretty easy to remember these two passages because one is Job 9:20, and then you go to Proverbs 20, verse 9, which says, who can say, I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin. So that speaks for itself. We have to stay before the Lord, crying out to him like David in Psalm 51, etc., to create in me a clean heart, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. See, everything's going to operate out of the source, and that's God, and the word heart in the Hebrew means source. Everything's going to function out of and come from your heart. Where is your heart? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's where your words come from. Jesus, that's Matthew 12:34. Jesus taught in Mark chapter 7, 20 through 23, that all of our sins come from and out of our hearts. Okay, so Paul says, wherefore, and remember the word, be sober, be vigilant. In our beginning passage there in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. You got to fight the good fight of faith. You got to keep your heart before the Lord. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, and this is a memory verse for sure, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You see, so the abiding saint, if he stumbles, we have an advocate with the Father, right? 1 John 2:2. But he's going to feel differently than he used to feel when he sinned. He is going to confess that sin. He is going to turn back to the Lord and acknowledge that he only sinned because he wasn't keeping under his body. He wasn't crucified with Christ as he should have been, dead and buried. He wasn't taking heed lest he fall. And that's why we sin. So we don't repent of the sin so much as we repent. We return to God and then we confess the sin for what it is. And let me throw this in there. I was discussing this with a brother recently. Listen, friends in Christ, if you have confessed your sins, God says that he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So there comes a time when you have to say, Lord, I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to believe what you said, that you are faithful and just to forgive my sins when I confess them. And so I am going to deliberately determine and believe and know that my sins are forgiven. And so I don't have to anguish over them any longer. I can forget those things which are behind. I can reach forth unto those things which are before me. I can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Philippians 3:13-14. And that's exactly why Jesus came, not only to initially forgive our sins, but when we confess our sins thereafter being saved initially, he forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But to cleanse even our conscience all the way down to the conscience level so that we can be free. We can have a clear conscience. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Now, this does not negate that we have to reap what we sow. And part of that is not God, it's us, because we sin. And so there's many times there'll be an anguish, there'll be a residual like regret and remorse. And we all know that. We all have been there. But there comes a time to stand up on both feet and lift your hands and hearts to the Lord, to heaven, and say, Lord, I know that your compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I take you at your word where you said, if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And somebody might say, well, brother, you don't understand. This was a really bad sin. Well, let me just encourage you to understand that your sin is not greater than the blood of Jesus Christ. And isn't it idolatry to lift your sin above the blood of his cross? You ever look at it that way? Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing when we're doubting that God has forgiven our sins.
When we
confess them, as he said he would be faithful, and he is, and he will forgive them. 1 John 1:9, Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, purge your conscience, purge, cleanse it from dead works to serve the living God. So he will cleanse your conscience so that you can freely and in the liberty of Christ go forth ministering. And let us close with this here, this truth. There's so much here that is so valuable to our lives in Christ. So notice we read earlier, Jesus said to Peter that Satan, because Satan was prowling, he was seeking to devour Peter, the apostle, as he does with us. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But, I have prayed for thee. How many people know Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his saints right now? He ever lives to provide what he died to purchase. Hebrews 7:24-26. Jesus Christ is the great high priest at the right hand of the Father. And that's the throne we go before when we seek the Lord and when we go before him to confess any sin. Hebrews 4:14-16, where the blood of his son Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We go before his throne of grace, not judgment, grace. If we don't confess them and we die in them, we're going to go before the throne of judgment. So he says here, after he warns Peter that Satan has desired to sift you, he has desired to have you, he wants you. And every one of us that is in Christ can know right here, we're in a war, in a battle for our eternal soul. Satan wants us, but we're in Christ. And if we do things his way, we're going to escape the claws of the devil, the desire of Satan. And so we read in Hebrews 7:24-27 of Jesus, the great high priest of the Father and over our lives, whom he has redeemed. It says, but this man, that's Christ, because he continueth ever. In other words, he's eternal. He's God, no beginning, no ending, hath an unchangeable priesthood. It's unalterable. It's set in heaven where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Verse 25, Hebrews 7, wherefore he is able, not us, without him, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He's the only way to the Father, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We must have this picture through Scripture in our hearts and minds, this snapshot that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his saints. Even as he said to Peter, as we already read in Luke chapter 22, that when Satan had desired to have Peter, to get him back into his dark kingdom and sift him, Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee. There he is, the great intercessor. First of all, he's the great mediator, the Savior, the Messiah. And then he's our intercessor. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. And now he tells Peter, he says, I have prayed for thee. He interceded for Peter to the Father, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice, strengthen thy brethren when you're converted. Jesus is foretelling, because he foreknows everything. He didn't foreordain that Peter be sifted and sin and deny him, but he foreknew that he would. And so he says, I've prayed for you, so that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice, when God restores us out of a fall, a temptation to sin that we entered into of our own accord, When he restores us, he then sends us as he did Peter. This is the unchanging Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he's telling Peter to go strengthen thy brethren when you're converted, when you're restored back to me after you've fallen into sin. Remember, he denied Jesus three times. I want you to go minister. I want you to rejoice in the freshness of my mercy and compassions, which fail not. They are new every morning. Great is my faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. I want you to be fueled by that restoration, grace, and mercy, and go and sit in a corner. I'm sorry, wait a minute, guys. Is that what it says? No. He says, I want you to go strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. Go minister. Later, Peter said, we're to feed his flock. 1 Peter 5. And right after this, on the day of Pentecost, not long after Peter had denied the Lord three times, God is using Peter to lead 3,000 men to Christ, and then 5,000 men to Christ at the day of Pentecost. So let me ask you, friend, when God forgives your sins, does that mean you're relegated to go park yourself and not do ministry? No, that's going to fuel your ministry, because you're actually going to experience the saving grace and saving mercy of Christ afresh, and you're to go forth and strengthen your brethren, just as Jesus instructed Peter, and just as we see Peter doing for the rest of his life. This in no way justifies or speaks to God having anything to do with our sin. We choose that when we choose to back off of him. We don't follow him steadfastly. We're not being sober and vigilant, knowing that our adversary, the devil, is seeking to devour us, just as he was allowed to do in the life of Peter temporarily, as Peter neglected his time of fellowship with the Lord. You can read about that in Mark 14. The apostles were sleeping for sorrow, it says. And when we sleep instead of pray, that's a picture of how we must diligently seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11. We're going to be weak. We're going to become weak by our own sinful neglect. And Satan is going to be able to devour us, to sift us, to have us. And then Christ is praying for us to be restored, that our faith fail not, and that we are restored to the Lord and set forth to strengthen the brethren, to do the ministry of the Lord, to strengthen the brothers and to evangelize, as Peter was doing shortly after he denied Christ three times. Then he was restored, and then he's leading people to Jesus. So friend, don't ever think that because you have fallen at any point in your Christian life that you are relegated to sit in the corner. That's exactly how you fall away. When David should have been at war, 2 Samuel 11, when it says that David should have been at war, that's a picture of our daily walk with Christ, where we're engaged, we're casting all of our cares upon the Lord. We are humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he is exalting us. We're casting our care upon the one who cares for us. We're seeking the Lord. We're being sober, vigilant, because we know the adversary walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're resisting him steadfast in the faith. And we, through these trials, are being made, and through our overcoming in those trials, through trusting Christ, through clinging to Christ, abiding in him, humbling ourselves continually before him, we're being perfected. That means matured, like Peter was, established, strengthened, and settled. And so according to 1 Peter 5:10, there is the fruit of more wisdom and experience and the grace of God and a personal knowledge of it to others, to help them to grow in grace and to evangelize the lost. That's the message today, saints. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us learn, understand, and walk in the full counsel of your word. We pray right now for a deeper breaking, for you to take away the stony places in our hearts and to give us hearts of flesh.
Let us flourish in your grace and mercy, Lord, as we know you are seated together with your Father in heaven, making intercession for us. Lord, we ask you that you would help us and use us to feed your sheep and to strengthen your brethren, your people, your disciples, and to preach the gospel as did Peter on the day of Pentecost to the lost that they might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.